Random House Audio presents Dear Girls Above Me by Charlie McDowell. Read for you by Kirby Hayborn. Author's note: this book was inspired by real people and events in my life, but ultimately it is a work of fiction. In some cases, composite characters based on real people were created, but ultimately most names, characters, places, and incidents are fictional. Any resemblance to actual persons is entirely coincidental. Chapter 1. OMG. If someone ever writes a book about me, it should be called A Beautiful Mind, said a voice still filled with the glory of having uttered some profound cliché. I think that's already a book, I responded out loud, to nobody. And a movie. And I'll write the sequel, A Beautiful Fashion Sense. Fashion is totally my seventh sense. My sixth sense is seeing ghosts wearing last fall's line, chirped another voice in keeping with the enthusiasm. I glared at my ceiling fan, hoping that this wasn't going to turn into a trilogy. These voices, the voices of the girls who lived above me, had become the Greek chorus of my life. As a guy not new to city life, I expected the intrusions and boundary violations that occur when one lives with only a few inches of wood and stucco between himself and his neighbors. Random footsteps, muffled television programs, maybe even the occasional sentence fragment. But I most definitely did not expect to be the unwilling audience of a 24-hour slumber party between the Winston Churchill and Benjamin Franklin of the 90210 generation. But let's back up a bit, to a more innocent time, before the girls rearranged every idea I'd once had about life and love, and the biggest challenge in my daily routine was walking my dog. I stood on the freshly cut lawn of my apartment building and looked around to make sure no one was within earshot. There was the girl across the street chatting on her cell phone, but she seemed much too preoccupied by the argument she was having with her boyfriend to notice me. So I cleared my throat.
Go pee-pees outside, Marvin! Pee-pees outside!
I said in the most high-pitched voice humanly possible. These are the words I must say to my dog every morning in order for him to go to the bathroom. Not a day goes by that I don't regret taking him to that dog trainer. I'm not totally sure, but I think she was legally a little person, which I googled, clocking in at approximately 4'10", and the pitch of her voice was commensurately high. No wonder dogs listened to her. So now, any command I give to Marvin, I must deliver with this Mariah Carey screech. Otherwise, he'll just sit there and stare at me as if he has no idea what we're doing outside. We go through this routine at 8 a.m. every single morning. If I wait till 8:30 a.m., I'm screwed. The grass will be damp from the sprinklers and Marvin won't go near it. Even the smallest drop of water frightens him. I guess that's one of the drawbacks in rescuing a Hurricane Katrina survivor dog.
Good boy, Marvin! Good boy!
Compliments must also come in this piercing frequency. I don't know how much longer my vocal cords can take this. Bro, you shouldn't talk like that where people can hear you. They might think you're a homo. This unsolicited morning advice came courtesy of apartment 4E, the guy who calls himself the Con Man, but whose real name is actually Connor. The Jesse James of my apartment building. What kind of person puts the in front of his name anyway? I guess the very same guy whose wardrobe appears to be sponsored by Ed Hardy. Good morning, the Con Man. How's your day going? I said with complete disinterest. Awesome. I've already taken a dump and trimmed my pubes this morning, he blurted out. Wow, Connor. I mean, the Con Man. That's a lot of information I don't really want to know about you, I said with complete sincerity. Stop being such a pussy, bro. It's science. It's the human body. It's education. Learn to love it. Why didn't I rescue a cat? There would have been no reason to converse with him and his freshly trimmed nether area if I were a cat owner. Felines are smart. They go to the bathroom inside, just like humans. They are loyal and don't whore themselves out the way dogs do. If I had been a cat, I'd have scratched the shit out of the con man by now.
All right, bro. I'm gonna go annihilate 10 egg whites for breakfast. Maybe a splash of palm juice if I'm feeling crazy, he said.
A real trailblazer.
Remember, bro, keep your voice down low, like this.
Yep. Got it. Thanks. I was thankful. Thankful that I was looking at the back of him as I said this. I watched as the con man air-drummed his way over to his hydraulic truck and peeled out of the parking garage, almost running over apartment 6A, Mr. Moliver, the on-site landlord. Mr. Moliver is another person I can't bear to talk to, not because he's a weasel like the con man, but because I frequently forget to pay my rent on time, and he loves to let me know it. I wish I could avoid him forever, but he's made it impossible. Just last month, he'd implemented a new policy stating that every check must be hand-delivered to ensure ultimate safety. Do not fold check. Don't get me wrong, he's perfectly nice, but boy, can that man talk. And when he does speak, it only has to do with the apartment building. Over the last couple of years, I've literally become an expert on shingle removal tools and copper piping, something I had previously hoped to never think about in my entire life. But maybe Mr. Moliver hadn't seen me yet, and I still had the chance to make a smooth getaway. I picked up my dog, who was carrying out my command mid-pee, and I hid behind the nearest tree. Marvin expressed his discomfort by heavily panting. But that's because he's unable to breathe through his nose. When you're browsing at the shelter, they only tell you the positive stuff. They don't mention how a particular breed is not good for hiding behind trees. I put my hand over Marvin's mouth, praying that he would at least try to suck air through that little pug nose of his. It worked for 3 seconds, and then he began wheezing and shaking around. This caught the attention of Mr. Moliver.
Charlie?
He stared at me with a silly smile on his face, one that only he could muster so early in the morning.
Do you realize you're the only tenant who noticed the trees were trimmed this morning?
Yeah, and it's not even Christmas, I said. Hopefully this brilliant turn of phrase would serve to distract Mr. Moliver from remembering I was late on my rent payment.
Oh, you've done it! Now that, sir, was funny!
He laughed hysterically, in a way that walked a fine line between being the nicest guy in the world and being a serial killer who wasn't afraid to target women and children. Well, time for me to get my coffee on. Have a good day, Mr. Moliver, I said politely. I put Marvin on the ground just in time for him to take a much-needed breath of life, and swiftly made my way toward the entrance of the building. I was almost at the front door, free from any more neighborly interactions, when Mr. Moliver defied the laws of physics and suddenly appeared in front of me. His demeanor had shifted, and he was not laughing anymore. Now it was my turn to pee.
Slow down there, Mr. Usain Bolt. Now, if my calculations are correct, Amundo, and let me tell you, they always are, then you are 1 day and 8 hours late on your financing agreement with this building.
I summoned my theatrical genes and showed him how sincerely shocked I was.
Wow! I can't believe I let that slip my mind.
I will go write you a check and slide it under your door right away, Mr. Moliver, I said. He leaned in toward me like an enemy entering a no-fly zone and whispered,
Now, please don't tell me you're forgetting policy number 7. Every check must be hand-delivered to...
Ensure ultimate safety. Yes, I know. I couldn't let him finish that goddamned sentence without my head exploding.
Well, good. I'll be seeing you in, let's say...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?